seemingly cognitive, seemingly highly developed through reasoned, well-reasoned thought, but anchored really in this spiritual experience that, you know, this whole structure understanding is so helpful in getting at this, that it's this encounter that is transformative, that moves us into the future, that is still anchored in this, the same structure that every human being for eons has undergone, although at new thresholds. You know, and so it has an imminence to it that is really present. It isn't just looking way up. It experientially is being generated from folks that are very grounded in this practice, whatever it might be, whatever their varied practices are.
Yeah.
So it has an appearance that is sometimes misleading, I think. Sometimes it is only the tip of a very deep developmental iceberg. Mm-hmm. And so it is a challenge to have to grow and yet stay planted. But I think that all the possibility is really present in whatever this is, whatever this movement is. It's happening. It is there. It's just articulated. It tends to be articulated in this future orientation.
Yeah.
This we have to develop this model, but I think we also have to live this model.
Yeah, yeah.
Live it and see what it is experientially, because as we theorize about moving it into the future, it's only been around for decades.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at monastic tradition, we're looking at centuries that are certainly laid in a different age, certainly laid under different consciousness structures. Nonetheless, this rootedness is sustaining and not fragmenting. And that's why I think that's the point where your critique is so important, because what you're addressing is the potential for something that's very fragmenting.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Great.
And your observation on that rootedness, I think, was important, and it kind of stood out. Like, that's how we began this morning. That's what you said. You know, roots and ladders, and the importance of having roots was sort of, I don't know, I got the sense that nobody really wanted to talk about that, or not, or nobody had really, it hadn't really occurred that, like, oh yeah, traditions, they're important. There's a reason why they've stuck around for so long. And I think maybe within the community too, that's also been an issue with kind of downplaying the earlier stages, and like, oh, that's just magical, moving into this stage now. Oh, that's mythical. I think that's also been just an observation, just being an outsider, because I haven't really engaged with everyone like face to face like I am now, but online and in discussions and videos and just the content that the Integral community is pushing out, I've had to dig for Christian oriented themes. You know, I know they played a little bit, but I've had to kind of dig for that and to find it, because maybe it's seen as too bloomy, you know, like the kind of tropes that they play against it. And meanwhile, like, I think your understanding of the Christian tradition is it kind of blows that out of the water and says, no, this is, you know, roots are important, and it's sort of how you are able to climb up the ladder to begin with, you know. And your comment too about building this ladder toward like an aesthetic transcendence only goes so far, because there's this other aspect to it that's mysterious, and it is grace, and I really appreciated that.
Genuine in touchness with tradition should really empower one to development. I think we get hooked on traditions that limit and restrict, but a tradition is like roots of a tree that is nourished. There's some stability there so that the sap can flow and this development can happen. So there's a healthiness there. I think of rootedness and tradition in that sense.
And maybe if we don't embrace that tradition in this kind of very conscious, acknowledging way, the tradition can kind of bite us in the butt. But that's very interesting for me because this whole future-oriented thing that we were discussing is a very intriguing byproduct of you know, the modernization and the kind of I'm trying to verbalize the understanding in the back of my head about this, but it's rooted in Christianity and looking forward and looking to the future. Mm-hmm. And a lot of interesting historians have written about this, like, why are we so future-oriented as a Western society? And, you know, even though the West kind of shrugged off religious tradition or mm-hmm. traditional thinking come the Renaissance and come the Scientific Revolution, we still inherited the same values. They just became right. secularized, and a kind of an irony, you know.
Yes.
Capitalism is, at least the whole Puritan capitalist work ethic, uh-huh. is extremely, like, they're mm-hmm. very connected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, scientists looking for transcendence and objectivity and mm-hmm. being the power of magic or the power of spiritual experiences through their technology without no idea that they have this religious drive. So to me, I'm thinking, like, maybe the integral movement should be careful, because if they really are going to do the same thing and downplay myth, they will become embodiments of that themselves in a kind of ironic way. But again, it's a generalization, but at the same time, I do see it happening sometimes in the who I talk to. And, yeah. So, yeah.
An astute point.
Yeah.
Something to really consider.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, integral theory needs its critics as it's developing. I think that's very critical, to use a pun.
Yeah. Indeed.
To a healthy development.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know, was there anything, roaming thoughts, or maybe we didn't finish the whole conversation from the workshop this morning? Is anything you wanted to mention? Or?
Could have gone all day, but for
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's really kind of opening kind of a book that you know, I envision it as kind of like integral Christianity or the heretofore history, the short history of what we're calling integral Christianity, and, you know, sort of the Wilberian movement is often it's a well-respected, important dimension. It's like a well-honored text that's present in our midst. And part of that is, even in the face of an issue of myth or developed consciousness that would think literalistically about various tenets of faith, that even in the context of that issue, that the idea of Christianity is really upheld and honored in a certain, and it kind of has a very unique, interesting privilege of place. Not so much in the ontology that's been developed,
mm-hmm.
That has a very Vedantic, Buddhist, mm-hmm. Hindu kind of verbiage, but Christianity is honored. And it's a very sacred tradition that's upheld, and it's palpable. It also, and probably part of this, like you say, there's this interplay of shadow that's always present. Part of this honoring is because many have said over the years that almost everyone in the West has, in some form or another, been touched, whether for good or ill, by varieties of Christian experience, whether it's, you know, in churches or in the churches of their families of origin or in other kinds of just knowing Christian people on the block or whatever it might be, that we just interface in this culture with Christianity. And it, because of that, is imprinted in all of us. It's imprinted. And there's there's often in talking to folks who, you know, are interested in integral Christianity, often there will be a deep longing to somehow touch even folks who have spent extensive time in Asian religions and have invested themselves in these practices, that there's often a deep longing to touch this root. Mm. This root that somehow is imprinted, it's somehow part of an existential DNA, as it were. And you know, so I see definitely the skepticism that you're noticing. And I also see a deep honoring that's very beautiful, and I think it helps us to be able to freely move the tradition, really, and to begin to feel that we can be conversant in Christianity in a conference such as this, and conversant in various sectors of, you know, Christian life out in the world about integral theory in various ways, which is also another burning question that many people have about what to do in their own faith life as Christians who also have discovered integral theory as being an interpretive lens for their lives.
That's a very good response.
I was thinking as you were talking, to get to the level of living this out, you speak of integral life practice that has, most of what I've seen, has to do with the individual and in healthful living in all the dimensions of life. But where's the social dimension of that? Where does that get lived out in a communal, the other quadrant? The other quadrants, the we quadrant, for example.
Yes, and I do believe that there are at least two presentations that are developing this very theme in a variety of ways at this conference. So those will be
encouraging,
of great interest.
Very encouraging. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that goes to you know, your point about it's all here. It's all the potential for this cosmopolitan to flourish and take the unique gifts of specific embodiments like integral Christianity, to take that and go, hey, we are good with the community thing. If you like, give us the spotlight for a few minutes, we'll show you. And you know, I think recently, maybe because of the crisis, maybe because of the criticisms, I've noticed a kind of shift with the leadership in the integral community, where they're going, we really need to give voice to these other aspects, you know, and who. Like, the integral Christians have taken, you know, integral theory and adapted it and applied it and remixed it with the Christian faith. So down the road, or maybe presently, I haven't read your writing yet, but presently, theologically, there may be adaptations and changes to the theory itself that help push away from the cognitive back into, you know, the immanent, or the incarnational aspects of Christianity to shine light on integral theory. So it might change the way we think of development, you know, from an integral Christian theoretical perspective. I'm getting headier now, but it's kind of making me think there's new possibilities now for the theory itself, and not just the community, but they flow into each other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can have evolutionary Christian thinkers within the integral tradition as a whole, and be able to, I don't know, transform the theory itself, and then make more room, because then that might be a smaller container for a larger demographic that will get that better, that will maybe apply better to the West rather than necessarily as much the East. And that's fine, because we're talking about contours and know the impasse, you know? So I think there's room for that, like knowing the impasse, but also going like, well, we want more impasses, actually. We want a wall here. We want a container here and a connection to there, and that's okay.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, so it's really inspiring, and I'd love to hear more about your writings. I guess we don't have time right now, but at some point it'd be really cool to...
Fantastic,
like,
really.
Yeah.
Yes, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of writings... yours are marvelous. And thank you for all your offering. And it's just great because we can't go to everything. So you and you can't either. But what you're going to and
give us a taste and it's just sampling of everything. Yes, mm-hmm.
yes. You're a gorgeous writer. I mean, it's just fantastic. Really, really enjoying your approach to all this.
Thank you very much.
Not an easy glass of water to drink. Really, this is.